What is up, people? Welcome to Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things Everton American style. And what that basically means is it's the normal Toffee Blues. It's just like that, except it has like special sauce, like a Big Mac. Yeah, it's just, that's all this is. Yes, it's just like a normal Toffee Blues Big Mac with Thousand Island dressing on it. That's all this is. All right. You already heard his voice, but you're going to get some more of it. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me today, making another appearance on Toffee Blues USA, is one of our Cincinnati Toffee brethren and contributor to Toffee Targets. Ladies and gentlemen, Shake Holton is back.
Hi, everybody.
Yay!
Repeat. Yes. I'm sure everyone has just been clamoring for it. Yes.
They've been hitting up my DMs like crazy.
I'm sure.
They're like, when is Cincy Naismith coming back? Cincy Naismith.
I'm starting to look like it with the facial hair, man. I'm telling you. Like, it's I think there was one time where we posted a picture of all of us in the at Dana Gardens for a match. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had my facial hair and I, you know, kind of a short guy. I got the blonde hair and I think it was either Everton in the USA or Premier League in the USA. Mm-hmm. And they're like, is that Stephen Naismith at the at the pub? And I'm like, man, I wish.
we had another one of your Cincinnati.
Yes, people. Jeff. Jeff was on
last time. He was super nice guy, super cool guy. Taught me a little bit about the universe and about Red Rum Club. So
I've been a big music guy.
I did a deep dive into that this past week. It's pretty cool. So, but yeah. So we're starting to find out there may be a connection, Cincinnati Everton connection. I was talking to my wife about it. I'm wondering what the psychology is behind Cincinnati folks and Everton. Is there one, or am I just happening to talk to two of them every week right now? So it's wasn't sure if it's like is it something situational or what, man? So we're gonna have to talk about that at some point. So Jake, it's international break, which, not to bring things down, but we know international break sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks. Does it suck for you as much as it sucks for me, dude?
Yeah, I never enjoy international break for a multitude of reasons. First being, I don't like international football for the most part, especially when it just seems like Everton have the worst luck during international breaks with injuries or mm-hmm. what have you. You know, Seamus Coleman picked up another knock to his hamstring going to Ireland. That man, he's never allowed to go play for the Ireland national team ever again.
We should just have no more of our players go to Ireland. No more of our players should be playing for Ireland right now. Okay.
Nothing against the country of Ireland. You guys are great. Okay.
No, we love our Irish players. We just won't want them going playing for Ireland right now because they always end up getting hurt.
Irish players, Irish toffees, man. You guys are great. I heard great stories about you and your drinking escapades.
Oh, that frightens me, and you know, it's exciting at the same time.
You know, Alan picked up an injury as well. Don't know what his situation is going to be going into this weekend. Outside of that, it seems like everyone else is healthy, but just like, especially now during a global pandemic, international football seems gratuitous and completely unnecessary in every way, and you know, Everton have been relatively lucky, but Liverpool have lost a couple more players, two to injury and one to the coronavirus in, you know, Mohamed Salah. And that's massive when they're going to go play Leicester City this weekend. So, you know, it's not just smaller clubs. It's, you know, nobody's safe from international break. And I don't enjoy it, especially the first one this season when Everton came out of the gate and smashed in four wins back to back to back to back, and they had won all seven of their matches and were just flying high, and it just killed all the momentum.
Yep.
So I hate international break. I don't like it at all.
See, I told you off camera earlier, but I watched some of the U.S. national team. They have a lot of really exciting young players playing for U.S. national team right now. I love watching players like Tyler Adams. I've been watching Tyler Adams for a while now. you know, seeing the growth that Weston McKennie has been, you know, going through, seeing what Anthony Robinson's up to right now, which we're going to get another look at him in the on the weekend, which we will get to later. But it was, you know, but the U.S. games, it was just kind of cool, you know, just to see them play. You're like, okay, that's neat. But the first game, that it was a very meh match with Wales. It was just very meh. And then the second one was just, you know, it was a beatdown of Panama, who didn't even bring anywhere close to their strongest squad. And so it was just seemed like a kind of a throwaway, you know, bit. It was cool to kind of get some of these young players playing and all that, you know, get them used to it. But at the same time, I can't help but agree with you, Jake. I'm not sure how much, like, what is actually necessary? It's a serious question. What is necessary when it comes to all this stuff right now in these conditions? I don't know the answer, but it seems like the necessary thing would normally be the paycheck and their families. That's what it seems like, but
yeah,
I don't know.
And even outside the pandemic, like in between major tournaments, why are we stopping league play for just international friendlies? It seems really unnecessary.
This is kind of like an every year thing though, right? So it's kind of like we do it because we do it. I don't know. Maybe to because it's always been done, Jake. No, hey, teams need chemistry, especially like US, who has no style. No discernible like identity, and they're trying to carve one out right now. But right now, Jake, got to be honest, I'm reaching, and I'm aware of it. It's just a possibility. So anyway, it's a good question though, man. And I know it's, you do wonder, and we're not even talking about how crazy things are for all the players over the holidays.
Yeah.
Winter holidays.
Yeah.
Things get absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Things are about to get crunched all together, you know? So
it's a shame Everton's so thin, right? We need to bulk up our roster some more.
Yikes.
Yeah. So you didn't watch much of the international. So what are you doing with your time? Where's the time going for Jake right now on international break?
Okay. So obviously I write for Toffee Targets. It's international break. However, I was still able to put out two pieces this past week. The first one was obviously on the Manchester United loss. I pointed out a lot of things in that piece, and I thought it was a good idea to just kind of try to keep everyone reined in still. I know it seems like the sky is falling, three losses in a row. However, in that second half, it did seem like that Everton were kind of starting to get themselves kick-started again, maybe a little bit. You know, I'm just looking for silver linings
here. Yeah.
And then the second one was about how Everton are wasting youth talent once again. It was a really fun piece for me to write, and I've been having this discussion about the youth squad with a couple of different people and some groups of Everton supporters here and there, and it all centers around, there's a lot of scrutiny on David Unsworth, and I think he deserves some of that scrutiny. You know, I think he enjoys winning a lot more than he does growing the talent of these young players, and it's not all on him. You know, it's also on Everton not sending these guys out on loan when they're ready to go out on loan. You know, even if you've got a guy, you know, who's 18, 19 years old and he's too good for the under 18 side, right? So you move him up to under 23 and then he comes up and he's killing the under 23 side. That's a sign, send him out on loan. And it just seems like Everton are never trying to send these guys out on loan when they need to be sent out on loan. And I pointed some big players with, you know, or some big teams with a lot of loanings, you know, Manchester City is a squad that loans out a lot of players. Chelsea is the most famous for sending 800 guys out on loan every season.
There's so many.
And I also made the point, you know, it's not always going to work, but it is going to help their development And if it's not going to fit your squad, you're going to have that player's value go up exponentially because they have experience in a first team on a loan somewhere that they were able to grow. So that was a fun piece. I enjoyed writing it. It's a bit contentious towards Everton, but I think it's a conversation worth having.
I agree. Well, if I spoke like a human there, I would have said, I agree. Jeez. Yes, I'm still dealing with the same lung stuff. So, yeah. Sorry. Normal human speak now. No, I agree, man. And I think it goes to – I feel like I remember when we had the gentleman El Pivote on, we talked about continuity between – and this was like last year. We talked about continuity from the top down system-wise. And I remember I bring up, I feel like a lot of the people that are putting out some good talent now, I look at, you know, New York Red Bulls. Okay. Interesting situation. I was lucky enough to go to some, when the DA was still a thing, the Development Academy, still a thing. I got to go down the road and watch a bunch of the DAs from the East Coast play. And one of the DAs I watched was New York Red Bulls. And I talked to one of their parents and he said, one of the things I love about my kid playing here is I know they're playing the same style with the same philosophy as the adult team, as the first team. And it's interesting that DAs are doing this. Okay. Same philosophy. I look at a club, Philadelphia Union, doing the same thing. They are churning out talent.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Union is like a talent factory. And now I realize I'm giving MLS examples. We're talking Everton. It's you know, apples and kumquats. I get it, not the same thing, okay? But the idea of having a similar, some sort of continuity systematically from the top down, and I'm under the impression that's one of the things Marcel Brands was supposed to be doing when he came in. So I'm still hoping that we see gradual movement on that within the, you know, I just don't know, man, because it does feel like it's more about wins than it is as much about getting that through line, that discernible through line, that kind of, that gives you a spine, a DNA of your squad. What is your DNA? Is it just, it's not just to have a good team at every age, you know? If that's the case, it's tough because I don't know, at that point, then what's the DNA? Winning? Well, that's a very American thing. It's a very American thing. Let's win by any way we need to, and let's just have, let's look at our squad, develop it around whatever's good here, and we do what we have to do to win, and who cares what it looks like, you know? That's not what Everton's doing.
No.
So, anyway, you bring up a really – it's a long conversation, Jake.
It is, yeah.
You know, and it's yeah. tough because we don't know the situation of all these loans, these young players. We don't know. Have we tried to get some of them loans and they just couldn't get them? Or was it the kind of thing where we waited too late in the game? And they ended up going somewhere else. We were like, we don't want you to go because we're not sure if we need you. Never mind. And then we got players who are like 26 playing for U23s right now.
You Matty know, Pennington.
You know, who
– waste.
Well, I just – I don't know what's going on there. I always – I hesitate to assume I know the situation. But, you know, it does seem like, you know, I don't know what – it could be another one of those things where we're giving him a helping hand. While he's working out a move, cool, sort of cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that's a tough one, dude. That's a
I
tough
mean,
one.
Like you know, I think my two examples I always like to point to, and they're very recent. You know, Morgan Feeney just left for Sunderland on a free.
Yeah.
And Kieran Dowell just left to Wigan for like £1 million or something, and not those much. Were. Two of like very highly touted prospects in our, you know, youth system over the last 6 years or whatever. Well,
like I was going to say 3 or 4 years ago, you would have said, yeah, I think they're going to break through.
Yeah. I was saying on the American Toffee podcast 2 years ago, I was saying that I thought Kieran Dowell would have been a first teamer by this time.
Yeah.
I thought he had the skills and maybe he does, but like he's got a long injury history and he's hurt again now and it's a bummer. Ugh. But I mean, like you look at those guys a couple years ago and you're like, surefire, going to be first teamers.
Hold on. Kieran Dowell, did he go to Wigan or Norwich?
He did go to Norwich. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
It just hit me because he had been alone at Norwich before. Yeah. That's Norwich. He had been alone at Wigan before. Wigan,
and now he moved permanently to Norwich and immediately got hurt. And
I'm going cross-eyed trying to figure all this out, man. Sorry.
I mean, it's just, you're right. We don't know, and maybe it's not right to assume, but all we can go off is what we've seen, right? Mm-hmm. And the evidence points to a mishandling of a lot of youth players.
And how can we get the most out of those youth players, I think, is a question I'm assuming they're asking themselves, is right. how do we carry these kids through to help, because we still need that Everton DNA in the squad. We can't sit there and just buy everyone and be like, hey, I'll take a hummus. Hey, I'll take some Mina. You know what I mean? And just sit there and just, you know, spice up guys the whole.
Like Tom Davis and Anthony Gordon and Ellis Sims. Like, you need guys like that in the squad who are like, one Dominic Calvert-Lewin is a big example of that. He didn't come up through the U squad, but he did play in this U squad, and he's had to earn his spot as an Everton player, and now he's in love with Everton Football Club. So
yeah, that's huge. That's a good example there. I mean, a Mason Holgate, another player who didn't come up through, but he still had to earn his way through.
Yep.
You know, there are examples of this, and I feel like you need those kind of people to keep, you need this kind of players, you need this kind of presences to keep, you have to be tapped in to the nerve system of the club, you know? If you don't have those, I feel like you lose some identity. Very, very cool stuff. We got into this conversation and we were not planning on having this conversation. It just came out. It's kind of cool. So I'd have made it a topic had I known. Was not prepped for this. I was not prepped for Jake Holton's just quick conversational style. Throwing this out there then, we do need to get on to the rest of the show. Just a quick summary of what the rest of the show is going to look like. We have done the intro. There you go. Hope you enjoyed it. Then we'll go into Isco. Some guy wants to play for Everton. We'll talk about him. You know, no big deal, right? And then we'll go into the mailbag. There's some good stuff from some familiar names and some names I don't know, but some really cool questions. Yeah, I'm excited. And then we'll do a preview of the Fulham match coming up. We can only hope there's no Paninkas involved. Failed or otherwise. Just don't need to see that for anyone. Poor Mola. All right. So really quick before we dive in, I have to remind myself to do this. If you're going to be getting anything for the holidays, this is my ad. Ready for my ad? Brace yourself for commerce, friends.
Live read. Here we go.
Hey. In the description, Everton Direct link. If you're going to be buying something from Everton for the holidays, I know my family already has been doing this. There's a link down there. If you could click through that, we'd certainly appreciate it. Get your Everton gear right there, Everton Direct. The link right there is in the details of this video, of this podcast. Check it out. Hopefully it helps you out. There you go.
I'm rocking this sweet Everton hoodie right now. It's, you know, it's a nice black Hummel gear. It's got the chevrons all the way down the sleeves. It's very comfortable. I'd recommend it for anybody.
I really wish I'd have like given you like some sort of like introduction, like Jake is wearing a medium Hummel pullover, black on black on white, you know, but I don't have anything cool. I don't have that written or prepared. So instead I just have to be like, Jake wears shirt.
That's right.
You know,
he does.
So
you bought them from Everton Direct. There you go.
Right there.
Full circle.
Click the link, and all my Toffee Blues people will thank you for it, apparently. So, all right, time to move on. We got to talk. Got to talk Isco. This guy's everywhere.
Yes.
Can't get away from Isco talk. I've been trying to figure it out because he's a player that I just – it's like Hamas. Player I've been, like, absolutely in love with for a while. I'd be like – mouth-watering like creation of goal opportunities, and it's just, you know, like, oh my gosh, look, that guy's going to pull a pass out of his ass and find a player in the stands who finds a way to score. Holy crap. Isco is just, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's a little bit like soccer Jesus. He even has the beard. Isco's pretty great. I've been in and out of favor at Real Madrid lately, though. You never know. It's almost like, you know, the leaves are turning brown, so Isco doesn't play. So now the blossoms are coming onto the flowers, and that means Isco's playing again. Zidane and he, kind of a weird relationship. But it does seem like he's ready to be consistent somewhere. Rumors of Everton naturally happen. So, Jake, I got to figure out where this guy fits in. I'm having a little bit of trouble because we're talking about a center attacking mid player who also is a creative 10 from the wing, from the left, right footed. So it's almost like take Hamas, reverse it. All right. Not a speed player, creator, who everywhere I've read his best position is coming from the center. But how do we work that if we're working a 4-3-3? And yeah, because there's some stuff that's kind of conflicting about his best positions and what we need and what formation we run. So is this a thing where we change formations, or is this a thing where we run him on the outside, or we run him? Yeah, I don't know, dude. Jake, where's your gut? Where's your gut on this one?
I don't see how he fits. I mean,
gonna weep.
Isco is a really good player. I'm not going to deny that he's not a really good player, because that would be crazy to say that he's not a really good player. I'm not going to say that he's old, because that would also be crazy. He's 28 years old.
Yeah, I mean, that's not old.
That's literally 2 years older than me. So it'd be like calling myself old, which would be ridiculous.
Yeah. Who would call themselves old? It's no one.
But I don't know. You're right. I don't know where he fits. He's not going to fit in a 4-3-3 unless you're going to play him on the left, but then you take Richarlison out of the mix and you can't do that. You're not going to drop him. You're probably not going to drop him to left mid in between, you know, Richarlison and Luka Dean. Although I could think of worse places to put an Isco. You know,
is it a thing? Silly question, dude. So hear me out here, because I don't know either. Is it a thing where right now one of our positions of weakness is not a position of weakness. I hate to say that, because sometimes it's a position of strength depending on the game. But the Sigurdsson, Andre Gomez situation. All right, does he fit there? But those players, I feel like, have slightly different qualities. You know what
it's
I mean?
Yeah, it's also tough to put him in that position being a right-footed attacker, because he's not going to be able to swing balls in from the right side. He's going to have to cut inside almost exclusively, which makes him a little bit more one-dimensional. You know, if you're going to talk about one of his probably weakest spots, throwing him out on a right wing, like on an island, basically trying to run at a left back is – you're not going to get the best out of him at all. So it's really tough, because you want a guy like that in your squad. No doubt about it. He's a bona fide star. He's got the credentials to back it up. He's been playing for years at Real Madrid at an incredibly high level and a born winner, right? And let's not forget his contributions to the Spanish national team. He's been a baller on the Spanish national team as well for a long time. The guy can play. It's just trying to find a place for him with our current squad and our current setup. You're asking a lot of Carlo Ancelotti for him to find somewhere. It would have to be it would almost have to be like a 4-2-2-2, right? And you'll have to find a spot for him in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
But outside of that, my I just kind of throw my hands up and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's such a weird situation, because I don't know. I've been trying to roll it over in my brain because you're right. I mean, you start Richarlison on the left. That's the way it is. So at that point, then you have to start him as a 10, period. And that's where you start him. Then do you have Alana Decore? Do you run 4-2-3-1 at that point? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
But the thing I have, my biggest issue with that though is, okay, well, if you do that, you're changing your whole thing you've been doing all year. You're changing what your whole plan's been all year long, and you're doing it because one player, which doesn't seem like a Carlo kind of thing. But I know also Carlo does like his utility. He likes being able to take a player and move him over here. You know,
he swaps wingers a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially like taking Bernard, throwing him in the middle. You know what I mean?
He'll flip flop Hamas from the right middle to like over to the left side and have him play, and he'll flip flop guys. And I think Carlo also likes to have the flexibility of like changing formations. I don't think Carlo likes playing a 4-3-3 every single week. Although it's a lot easier when everyone's healthy and you're getting this liquid football where the passes are just, you know, here, bang, 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 bang in the goal. Right.
Yeah. Liquid
football. I mean, that's it's really appealing and it works. We've seen it work. But you gotta be flexible, and you gotta be able to be flexible. And I don't know if adding Isco is really gonna add to that flexibility or make it more one dimensional and kind of handcuff you a little bit.
Yeah, I'm torn because you're making your team better. Period. You're making your team better. You're making your team deeper. You're making your squad deeper. And here I am. I've been sitting here complaining about depth this whole time. And here we'd be bringing in a player that makes the squad deeper.
Yeah.
And we'd be doing it at a bargain.
Yeah.
Because he would be a bargain. I don't care what we get him for. It will be a bargain. And I know it.
Yes.
So is this the kind of thing where we just take the Isco and don't worry about wedging him into a starting lineup, and we'll just adapt as we can, especially if rumors are right and if for some reason Bernard is headed out, right?
Yeah.
If Bernard is headed out.
Yeah, Roma being interested, yeah.
Yeah. So if that's the case, bring in Isco, just add another quality player who's going to create more goal-scoring opportunities.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna get mad if they add Isco. I'm not gonna like throw a fit and be like, oh, well, this is the dumbest move ever.
If you do, I would like to see it, because I just don't see you being sincere about it. I think it would be a fun fake fit. Just saying.
Yeah, throw up a rant on Twitter, adding the hashtag brands out. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's, aw.
It was sad, you know. We'll talk about this more later. Well, not really, because we talked about it earlier. In my Manchester United review, I was like, I jokingly mentioned that I'm for sure gonna see people on Twitter saying Ancelotti out, and yeah. Lo and behold, I mean, a lot of them were joking, but there were a couple of like serious people like ready to fire Carlo Ancelotti, and I'm just like,
and you know, and that's it. It's an interesting thing. Blame is an interesting thing. The idea of being able to pin it, it's like, it's, there's something almost comforting of being able to point at someone saying,
yeah,
their fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
he's not completely absolved of any fault. Like, he clearly made some tactical and substitution errors, but like, come on.
I don't even blame him for some of the, I like the losses. I think you can see what he's trying to do, and we were having some serious personnel issues in terms of having the people we needed. Like, was it, I mean, clearly it wasn't the right choice because it didn't work. You know what I mean? There's some of these choices, they didn't work. So you can't sit there and be like, yeah, they were perfect. No, they didn't work. But at least you can see some rhyme or reason to it. Yeah. And it's not just something we've experienced with other managers where it's like doing the same thing. You're like, oh, it was predictable as hell. No, not necessarily.
Hi, Marco Silva.
I was also going to say hey to Roberto Martinez as well.
God, Ronald Koeman. it wasn't even like bang your head against the wall with Ronald Koeman. It was, let me play every player out of position that I possibly can. And you're just like shaking your head. You're like, that man played Dominic Calvert-Lewin at right wing back to start the season against Stoke. And you're just like, he's now the golden boot, like tied for the golden boot right now. Come on. Yeah. Played him at right wing back.
He saw the potential, the defensive potential. Oh, we will be getting.
You know, he would have played Richarlison at defensive mid.
Hey, hey, he does the defensive work.
I mean, he does, but like, man, what a waste that would be.
Oh, yeah, I'm still mad at Koeman. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm
everyone still mad is.
At that dude. I hate that guy. All right, so anyway, Isco, final word from you. How are you feeling about Isco? Do we take it, even though you can't really make a discernible place for him in the starters, or do you, you know what I mean? Or do you just sit there and, or do you say, nah, we need to focus on starters right now?
I'd rather have somebody else, maybe somebody a little younger, maybe somebody a little more versatile, but I don't, I'm not going to turn that away. I would definitely have Isco in this squad. I think he's the kind of guy, like, you buy him and like figure it out when he gets there.
And I think if he comes, Carlo figures out a way to make him a starter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And I agree. I would take him too. I do think we are bringing in some of these vets that are not young developmental players. It is a bit of a risk, but we're not laying out a ton of money for them. So that makes things a little different. And yeah, so. Okay, cool. Well, I think we would have to. I think our final word on that is Isco, yes.
Two thumbs up.
Off the road. Jerry. It was, I think Barry Larkin would have been better.
Maybe.
That's my Cincinnati Reds reference for Jake.
Barry Larkin. What a guy that was. Don't make him anymore.
I watched a lot of baseball when Barry Larkin was playing. Just yes. Saying. All right.
I got to see the end of Barry Larkin's career. Bummer.
Well, remember, I'm like 89 years old, so I saw a lot of Barry Larkin's career. These gray ones were not there. All right. Mailbag, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on to the mailbag. We have some cool quality questions from some recognizable sources, but we're going to go from the not as recognizable sources in the beginning. From Instagram, Peter_Wood77 has an interesting question. Jake, why is Everton's fan base in the U.S. so big?
Man, that's a great question. I don't know if I can really answer that question because it's kind of – Everton is like almost anti-American, right? Americans like – winners, and they like big cities, right? And they like these big names, and they want everything to be up in lights, and they want everything to be big, and they want winners, right? And when you're talking about American Premier League supporters, when they go into wanting to support a Premier League team, they're going to be looking at the top six almost exclusively. They're going to be looking at Chelsea, Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester City, Tottenham, right? Maybe a couple Leicester people now that especially after Leicester won a title, I'm sure you've gotten a big wave of American Leicester fans off of that success. But like Everton is you have to be such a unique character to be an Everton supporter. You almost have to be a fan. If you look at a lot of American Everton supporters, you have to kind of look at their other sports. I'm a Bengals fan. I'm a Reds fan. The Reds are a historic team. They've done winning in the past, a lot of winning in the past, and haven't been winners for a long time, right? The Bengals, they're not a historic team, but they've been to a couple Super Bowls.
They've been to some Super Bowls. I remember the Icky Shuffle, man.
Yeah, but they've never won it. And you kind of have to have a taste of what it's like to want something so bad and see it so close, but know that maybe it's never going to happen. You have to have like the thick skin. You have to be thick skinned to be an Everton supporter. You can't be flimsy because you know it's the hope that kills. You hear it all the time on Everton Twitter. It's the hope that kills. So I think that doesn't explain why there's so many Everton fans. It almost explains why there shouldn't be so many Everton fans. But I think Tim Howard had a big part in that, obviously. You know, him and Landon Donovan, I think, had a massive hand in that. just like I'm sure Clint Dempsey had a big hand in why there's so many Fulham supporters in the United States. You know, it's just, it's a recognizable name, and it's a club that is not a big club right now. Although I think it still is, obviously, and that's because it is. Everton's a big club. But, you know, historically, they're a massive club, a powerhouse club. And so I think Tim Howard and Landon Donovan is going to be my answer, because as I just said, I can't come up with any other reasons. Americans like winners, and really Everton haven't done much winning in the last, you know, decade or so.
So I'm going to build on what you're going to say. My initial response to that question was, is our fan base so big in the US? Because I think it is tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
Okay. I think there is so much more potential for Everton in the States. I think we are barely scratching the surface. Do I think that success is going to help fuel that? Yeah, it will. You know, keep winning games. Keep getting some worldwide personalities. It's going to fuel that. We are still, it is a building kind of thing. I also think studying the personality of the Everton supporters that are kind of coming in, and they're not as much infatuated with the success. They're more all about the personality of the club. They feel linked to it, connected to it, you know, like me and this guy right here. You know, we have a certain connection to it. I know for me, like, I'm a guy who doesn't like the easy answers. You know what I mean? It's not who I am. I don't like, you know, when people are like, you know, I do this because everybody else does it. I'm just not that guy. You know, I like to find my own way. I like to, you know, and I don't know if it's, you know, being like kind of a, you know, coming from a working class type of a vibe, but that's who I am. And I look at, I connect with that with Everton. I connect with the community. And so I think there are a lot of working class folks in America that don't want their favorite team spoon-fed to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so when I say, you know, so it's not insulting to Everton to say we barely scratched the surface. You know, we barely scratched the surface, because when you sit there and you go out to a bar here in Winston, it's really hard to find your Everton bar. I know exactly where it is. It's Campus Gas. It's right over there by Wake Forest University. I know exactly where it is, but you know something? It took us a while to get there. You know what I mean? You got your Man U spots. You got your, you know, red shite spots. They're scattered all over the places, you know, and it's not the, basically we have a lot of room to grow. So I think number one, we're as big as we are because there's something about the soul, the psychological connection, you know, in the same way that, this is going to sound stupid, dude, I'm sorry, but I just have to say it. In the same way that certain people link up with certain superheroes and say, I'm a Spider-Man guy. I'm a Batman guy.
Yeah.
I'm an Iron Man. You know what I mean? Like, they
connect sit there with you on a personal level.
There's something where you connect emotionally for one reason or another, you know? And, you know, when I think about my friends who like Batman, it's like, oh, you like to do things your way. You like to earn your own way. Got it. I see that, because it's very similar to Iron Man. There's no superpowers. It's all just doing it through your intellect and your savvy and your gadgets, you know? Okay, I got it, you know? So I like tinkering like that and thinking about fandom, you know? I think that's friggin' cool. That's why when I was talking about Cincinnati linking up to Everton, I was just like, oh, that's interesting. Because I think it's a cool subject. I think it's really neat.
I think we've done some like really, really, really like minor research into this. And even by research, I mean like we've looked at some rough numbers. But I think the last time we looked, the Cincinnati Toffees had more followers than the Liverpool Cincinnati does. So,
okay.
I mean, okay. Like, we're bigger than, you know, the neighbors.
So really quick, FC Cincinnati's there, right?
Yes.
They have a new stadium.
They're building a new stadium. It will be done by the time next season rolls around.
Can I ask, is there somebody involved with designing that stadium?
There is. Yes, there is a gentleman.
Who is that?
There is a gentleman involved with building that stadium, and he is the same man who is unfortunately no longer on the Bramley Lower Dock project.
But he's still behind the designs, though.
Yes.
Still behind the initial designs.
He came out with the initial design for the Bramley Moore Dock, and the new FC Cincinnati Stadium looks absolutely brilliant, and I cannot wait to go into it and sit there and watch a match.
So, yeah.
Although FC Cincinnati is terrible, but that's neither here nor there.
They'll get there. They'll get there. They have huge support.
Yes, they will.
But, yeah, in case you haven't figured it out, he's talking about Dan Mice. So, yeah. So
yeah, that's correct. Shout out to Dan.
So, yeah.
Anyway. Dan, I hope you're watching.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. I like that guy. All right. So, yeah, that's another one who just got connected with Everton. And
that's right.
Really fully got entrenched.
I believe he designed Paul Brown Stadium as well. So, if I have that correct.
I don't know.
I'm like 80% sure that he designed Paul Brown Stadium as well.
Well, I'm going with your percentages. All right. We need to move on. But basically, yes. Peter Wood, 77, it's a complicated answer. It's a complicated question. So, yeah.
It is.
MWEFC, any hidden talents in the MLS that Everton could snap up?
Flat no. That's not to say that there aren't hidden talents in the MLS, because, you know, my boy Ryan Williams, he loves watching the MLS, and he loves giving me names of guys on every MLS squad, like, oh, this guy's good, this guy's good, this guy's good, and they are, but they're not good enough for Everton and where Everton are headed. Now, some of the more talented players, they're on a trajectory that is currently above Everton. The kid for Philadelphia Union, he just signed a contract.
Aronson,
that's right.
I love that kid. He's amazing.
Well, he just signed with, was it RB Leipzig or was it?
Nope, it was
Salzburg.
Salzburg.
RB Salzburg, yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. And that will turn into, if he succeeds there, to a massive move to one of the European top teams. My guess would be, you know, Bayern Munich, because they like to buy up a lot of young talent.
He'll go to Leipzig after you know what I mean. Just
he'll graduate from RB Salzburg to RB Leipzig.
Yeah, it's a thing with them. I think they'll do that.
But yeah, no, for me, there's not a single person in the MLS I think Everton should even really consider.
I'll give a caveat to that. I think there are players that are brutally talented that could be playing at a number of places. I just don't know if Premier League at Everton is the place for them to thrive.
Yeah.
So
I think you're spot on.
I'll agree with you and slightly disagree. But it's more of agreement with an amendment. You know what I mean? Because, I look at the...
I think the Bundesliga is a brilliant spot for these, like, young MLS guys who are, like, budding with talent. I think that's a great place. That and the Netherlands, I think, is another good place, like, somewhere like Ajax or something like that. Or, PSV. They do good things at PSV with, you know, talent development. And so, yeah.
We should look into the guy who used to run their program, their director of football. I heard he's
You know what? You're right. We should.
If I were talking to another one of our Toffee Blues buddies, Jacob, all right, another Jacob, different Jacob, he would say Daryl Dike of Orlando would be somebody we would need to be talking about. Or he would say, hey, he's good, still not good enough to play striker for Everton. So I'd be, because he's like the young, like the, I know Berhalter was talking about trying to work with him on the national team. He came from University of Virginia. I watched him play in college. So he's a college product. And some of these college products, man, are coming out and they're actually getting some decent game time straight out of college. They're drafted, they come in, and they play straight out of college. So having said that, I haven't seen any college players where I immediately say, yeah, that kid's good enough to be on Everton's bench right now. I can't say that. But I like the idea that it's getting closer. That's cool. I mean, heck, there's a former Wake Forest University player right now playing for Leeds. Jack Harrison. Okay?
Yeah. Jack Harrison. That's a good example. I mean, Zach Steffen, he came from the MLS and he's next in line for Manchester City number one goalkeeper, you know?
Which is so mind-boggling. Crazy.
Yeah.
So again, MWEFC, there's some really, really good talents in MLS right now. We're trying to find one that's appropriate for Premier League and for Everton. And right now, see, I look at someone like Aronson, who just went to Salzburg. He's a very slight playmaker. He's thin.
I think he would have fit in well here. I would have had him.
I think he's very, I feel like he needs to beef up. You know, I think players, like, we need to beef dudes like that up. That's the problem with some of these MLS kids. They come in and they need to get carved out of wood, Fight Club style. You know what I mean? They need that. And MLS, I'm just not sure it does it to them yet, because the training that they get in England, three times training all, you know, three times a day, four times a week, five times a week, is just different than they get in the States. And I'm finding that out now with a kid who's training in the States. And we're getting all these like really interesting information about training over in Europe, finding out the way it really is. It is fascinating. So, So anyway, I want to put a pin in that, because I think about a player, a center back like Mark McKenzie at Philadelphia Union, who's a player who's in high demand. And I'm just like, no, I don't think he's too far from a Mason Holgate type player. I don't. So anyway, but I still wouldn't have him right now, even though he's from Wake Forest. So next question. _Enoch_70 from Instagram. Is Richarlison the main man at Everton, since we can't seem to win when he doesn't play? I'll let you answer this first. I have a very fast answer, though.
Yes, of course he is. I mean, you could make arguments for a couple other players, but I think you're going to fall short in that argument. And I would be willing to listen to those arguments and still probably call you wrong. But still respecting your opinion, obviously. Like, you can say whoever it is, and I'm not gonna be like, oh, well, you're totally wrong and you can't have that opinion, or you're an idiot.
Jake's but done like, everything except he's promised he's not gonna be a dick when you have your stupid opinion, is what he's saying. Okay?
I'm gonna be civil. yeah, he is. Now, do I think it's impossible for Everton to win without Richarlison? No, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. And it's almost lucky that Everton haven't won without Richarlison. I know there's been a couple draws in there, and he was obviously missed these past three matches, and he's going to be a massive upgrade to the squad coming up against a Fulham side that we don't really – I guarantee you, without Richarlison in the squad this weekend against Fulham, we would have beat them still. I guarantee it, which is annoying. And it's super annoying, because like another weekend in that whole thing would have been crushed. It would have been like, okay, we can win without Richarlison. Let's get on with it. Although I'm not going to complain that Richarlison's coming back. It's great.
We'll win without him. We'll win without him at some point. It's going to happen. It'll be fine. We just need to keep building our depth. I think it's because we just don't we were trying to replace him with players that don't do exactly what he does, right?
Right.
We did, and we were trying to, and we had other players missing too, right? So, is he a talismanic right now? It seems. I feel like almost everybody that come on the show, who's your favorite Everton player right now? Charlison. So almost everybody's like, Charlison, you know, do a little, you know, it's the way it's happening. That's they're into the pigeon dance, and that's cool. But yeah, I do think he's the main man right now. Ever since Cuco Martina left, you know, someone had to fill their shoes.
I thought it was Marty Ass.
Oh, those dudes. I hope they're okay. So I really do. I really hope they're okay. Yeah, he is the main man right now. Yeah, that's what I'll say.
So it's not Cenk Tosun is what you're saying.
Not Cenk Tosun right now. Although a guy can take a heck of a penalty for Turkey, can he?
He can. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, woof.
Hey, woof. That he penalty. Can too. Woof.
Yeah. Woof. Smashed it.
Speaking, look at your accidental segue, by the way. Holy crap.
Smooth transition.
We rehearsed this for 5 hours before we came on. Meanwhile, back on Twitter, Pete Needham, who is one of our friends of the Toffee Blues. He's always contributing cool comments and wordplay and whatnot. He's asked us a question. He actually comments to you every once in a while too, I think. But if you were Everton manager, if you were Everton manager and had a choice of Lukaku or DCL as they are now, as your front man, who would you pick and why? And he goes on to say that the fact that this is even close speaks to DCL's rise in the past 12 months. What are you going to do with this one, Jake? I've got an answer loaded up, primed, ready to pop. I just want to know what yours is first so I can tell if
I'm still going to stick with Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Are you?
Yeah. It's just, it's nothing against Romelu Lukaku. Romelu Lukaku is a wonderful striker and he's a heck of a player. And, you know, we have missed him for an incredibly long time. We never replaced him after he left until now. Mm-hmm. Now we have Dominic Calvert-Lewin who works his ass off every match. And it's very evident. The man does not lose out on 50-50 balls. The man does not ever lose out on an aerial duel. The man can head the ball with the best headers in the entire Premier League. And not only that, but his one-touch shooting has improved miles since he's come to the club. It's unbelievable how he's so comfortable with taking a touch and bang, putting it on target now. When before, you know, he would take 2, 3, 4 touches and you would get so frustrated. You're just like, you have enough pace. You can do this. Like, you can hit it after the first touch. I know you can. And you just saw it in him. And it was just so frustrating for the longest time. And this is nothing against Romelu Lukaku. If you told me that I had to sell Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Romelu Lukaku was coming back, I wouldn't like shit. I'd be very upset because I do love Dominic Calvert-Lewin a lot. But you're not going to be losing anything with Romelu Lukaku coming in, especially with the players he would have around him now. He would have the service to still be able to bang in the goals that Dominic Calvert-Lewin is banging in. But yeah, no, I'm not changing. Like, Calvert-Lewin's my guy. And he's not as important as Richarlison, but he's number two, I would say.
So, Lukaku now, I think, has a much better attitude than he used to. He seems a lot more mature. He seems like he's like, you know, he's playing for the right reasons. I think he got humbled at United, which is cool. Good for him. You know, that's awesome. I think he's a much better teammate than he used to be. The vibe I get is, but I would pick DCL too. I would agree with Jake here. I think Calvert-Lewin does the dirty work. And Lukaku can create his own goals a lot. I think he can. I think he's more powerful. You get him the ball. I think he can get around somebody faster. He wants some more direct route a lot of times. Calvert-Lewin hold up play, I think, is much more impressive. I think the work that he does winning those 50-50s is immense and actually sets up goals repeatedly for us. And he's fine with that. And he's not ashamed or afraid, is a better word, to head the ball. I haven't seen Lukaku aerial game, like legit real Lukaku aerial game, since he got knocked out a long time ago when he played for us, scored a goal, got knocked out. And ever since then, he seemed like he was not the same aerial threat ever again, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I get it. I've had head injuries. I understand. You're going to be a little weird about it. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. But I just think Calvert-Lewin does more of the team play. And here's the thing. He hasn't tried to leave, man. He hasn't tried to leave. Calvert-Lewin has been completely happy and excited to be there. Sure. Yeah. And I feel like that attitude thing is very big. So it is close. I like Lukaku. When he left, part of me was like, oh gosh, I'm going to miss him. Then I'm like, well, he doesn't want to be here. You know, that's a big thing. If he doesn't want to be there, you know, you're not going to get the best out of him.
Right.
Hardly anybody.
Yeah. And I think looking back now, I think you've seen a little bit of regret out of Lukaku on social media.
About the way it went down?
Every time somebody's like, hey, big man, we miss you at Everton. You know, he's
that's cool.
Like, yeah, I know. And yeah. And now I will say, you brought up a really good point. The only thing that Lukaku does way better than Dominic Calvert-Lewin is creating his own goals. You know, Dominic Calvert-Lewin has to have the proper service or else he's not going to create those goals. He's not going to be able to push through a defense on sheer willpower, where you watch Lukaku pick up the ball and like he's going through you. Like he's going through you. It's going to happen. He's going to score. And that's, you know, that's not a knock on Dominic Calvert-Lewin. It's just, you know, that's not his game. He's not going to succeed trying to do that. He is going to succeed getting up and heading every ball that's coming into the box and taking clever one touches and putting it in the back of the net. So,
sorry. I don't think this is a landslide conversation. It's not obviously one thing or another, because it's a tough question, which is why Pete asks it. He knows it's tough. He knows we're rankling. He knows we're like, oh gosh, that's hard. He knows. That's why he did it. He wanted to see us squirm.
What a jerk.
I can't even joke about that because he'll take us seriously.
You're not a jerk. That was an excellent question. And it was actually like a decent conversation to actually, I saw it on Twitter, and I thought about it when I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, you know, that's actually kind of a good thing to think about.
And I was joking. He will not take it seriously. Oh, well. He will not. Cover your bases. He's a jokester. So last question comes from another familiar name. It is one half of the brothers McAllister, who you often see on Toffee Blues. Terry asks another tough one. The right back problem doesn't seem to be going away. Coleman can't get a run of games as his body is starting to show its age. What does Carlo do to come up with a short-term plan B in lieu? And by the way, he says in lieu. Terry, it's just friggin' charming. I love in lieu. Okay, in lieu of buying a new player. Kenny, Godfrey, Holgate, Davies, change formation, or what he doesn't ask here, which I know Ben, who edits these videos sometimes, will be very a big fan of, let's re-sign Kuko, eh? So.
Gotta be Kuko.
It's my second Kuko reference tonight, just saying. So. What would be your short-term plan if you're the manager? What do you think Carlo's plan should be here if we're thinking about moving forward, short-term plan B? If Coleman's not around, available, if he's hurt, let's say his injury's nagging, he's only around every other game, what do you do?
this squad doesn't have the players to switch formations to three at the back. I love the 3-5-2 formation. I think it's a wonderful formation. I think it makes everything just a little bit more fluid. And I love watching Wolves play the 3-5-2 because they do have the players to do it, and it's wonderful to watch. It's very eye-catching football, and it's very positive. And when you have the athletes to do it, it can be just an excellent formation. However, Everton don't have the players to do that. So I think switching formation is out of the question. So then it comes into, if you're going to have to play four at the back, who's it going to be if Coleman's not available and you're not going to buy somebody? Well, first off, this was the one thing that I thought Everton missed out on in the summer, is they needed a right back. They needed to buy a right back, and it was something that had to happen because of this. And now we're in this situation. I am not a big John Joe Kenny person. However, John Joe Kenny is the best option we have right now in terms of just pure fit for right back and only right back, right? John Joe Kenny's the guy. He is not the future right back at Everton, I don't think. I think he's a fine squad player. I think John Joe Kenny is somebody that you should keep around as a depth player. He can play the position. You're not going to be completely screwed with John Joe Kenny in there. He is going to make his mistakes. However, right now, he's the best option. We've seen Godfrey play that position, and he played well against Liverpool and then played very poorly in the next match against Southampton. It was terrible, out of position constantly, just nowhere to be found. Now people are saying, well, he didn't have any help. It's like, yeah, but like as a right back, sometimes you're not going to have help. Right. Tom Davis has played even less than Ben Godfrey has. Now, if you're not going to go with Kenny, Tom Davis would be my pick. It's a controversial opinion, but if you limit Tom Davis to one spot, he's good going forward. Now, you're probably not going to get much with him defending wise, but like, he's decent enough going forward where you're not going to be at a complete loss. But if it's not going to be John Joe Kenny, it should be Tom Davis, and Ben Godfrey should be reserved for either central defensive mid player or a center back. He's just, I don't think he's got the bona fides to play right back. I don't think he's that versatile. I think he's a versatile player. I just don't think that he can play right back as good as John Joe Kenny can. So, but that's my answer. John Joe Kenny, if you're not going to buy somebody and Seamus Coleman is going to be out and John Joe Kenny's available, unfortunately, it's got to be John Joe Kenny.
I agree about Kenny. I mean, almost everything you said about John Joe Kenny. I do think, give him a run of games. I would love to see him have a run of games. See what happens, not get injured. I just think he understands these nuances of when to get forward, when to get back, of playing right back. He's the only natural fit we have there. Yeah. Holgate will have trouble getting forward and playing the final ball, as will Godfrey. Godfrey, what we saw when he plugged in the first time, he was being plugged in, a last minute replacement. He came in the, not even last minute, it was in the middle, a mid-game replacement, and no one planned around it. The next game, he started, right?
Early. It was like 30 minutes into that match. Yeah.
And so nobody planned around it, though. But then the next game, when he had the opportunity to do the same thing, he was kind of, people planned around it, and he got caught out. And it, you know, and I think he's a brilliant young player, and maybe he's had more time to kind of refine that. But I think the natural fit is, I mean, there's a reason we held on to John Joe Kenny for a reason. It's because no one came in and paid what we wanted them to pay. So that means we have a value for him. We have a value for him to play that position, and it, if nothing else, defensively. Right? Do I think that Godfrey and Holgate offer more pace and possibly a little bit more stability defensively? When it comes to pace, yes, pure pace, but not defensive positioning. Defensive positioning on the right back, Kenny should be giving us what we need from that position. So he's my number one. And my number two is just, you know, at that point, I'll take any of those three. Yeah. Any of those three. Davies worries me defensively because of pace. That's my problem with Davies playing. And then you, then at that point, I would say no attacking responsibilities. Just play D, man. Just cover us, cover our asses, and just so that don't even worry about getting forward. That's what I would say there. Or we sign a right back. I've been hearing about this kid. His name's Antonio Huberto. And he's a very good defensive player, Antonio Huberto. Can do a job. And when he scores, we'll riot.
Yeah, I think this summer, like, right back needs to be right up number one on the list. That needs to be the key, the main priority.
We'll pull him out. No more carp fishing for him. Antonio Huberto. Let's do this. All right. So, but honestly, dude, I got to agree with John Joe Kenny. And Terry's right. This is a problem. I've had this problem. I knew That's this was going to be a problem going into this season. You knew it was going to be a problem. You look at it. Coleman is giving us great minutes. He looks great. But he's also, you know, he's not, you know, a young whippersnapper. So there's going to be times where he can't help it. He can't help it. Body's going to be, even if it's not a straight injury, it's going to be just straight wear. Where he plays 10 matches in a row, he's going to be worn. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's an amazing physical specimen. I've seen him do some great work recently getting forward. I mean, I trust him. I do trust him to be right back right now. Yeah. I do.
Plus, the way he goes after people who dive is awesome.
Love that.
That pass one this weekend, the one with the, he keeps like yelling at Harry Maguire for diving in the box. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. I love that, man.
Yeah. Huge Seamus Coleman fan. I'm just saying, if you're going to keep Kenny, you're going to keep him around, it better be for a reason. And if you don't play him over these other players, why we have him? I feel super bad for a kid who could be a starter somewhere. So, anyway. All right. Terry, you probably have a better formed option in your head, but that is
ours. Terry, I'd actually like to hear what you think, Terry. So, like, hit us up.
Yes. Yes. Give me a call, Terry. We'll record it. All right. For real, Terry, give us an answer on that. And Greg, who chimed in on Twitter, we're not going to play Mo Bessage there. I'm just saying. Not happening. He's got a message. He's got the Bessage obsession. All right. Ooh, that was not the best. All right. Hey. Fulham preview. Let's do this.
Hey, all right.
It's going to be brief because I got to be honest. We're running out of time. The current form right now, they're 17th in the Premier League with 4 points. They're 1-1-6. Their past three matches, their most recent was a 1-0 loss to West Ham, which was an absolute debacle with Adamola Lookman pulling a Kevin Morales and saying, "No, I'll take this."
The worst penalty I've ever seen.
And didn't just tuck it away. And yeah, so young kid just choosing his wrong moment, picking the wrong moment, just saying. So before that, they had a 2-0 win over West Brom. And before that, a 2-1 loss to Palace. Possible lineup. Areola in goal. Aina on the right. Anderson and Tosin. I'm going to do this dude's name wrong, although I've heard it before. Tosin Adarabioyo. Adarabioyo. Yes. Adarabioyo.
Got it.
Yes. Alert the
Nailed
media.
It.
Holy crap. That was phonetic and probably wrong. And Anthony Robinson. I can say Anthony Robinson really easily. At left back. Harrison Reed. Zambo. Hold on. Shit.
Anguissa.
My own writing. Zambo Anguissa. Yeah, I was reading my own writing and I was like, that's not that dude's name. Bobby de Cordova Reeds. There's two Reeds there, sort of. Tom Kearney, Adamola Lookman, and an absolute dominant presence in the box of Mitrovic. who is just
Jefferson Killer.
Yeah, he is a. I see him play a lot. Sometimes I specifically watch teams to play that he's on just to watch him play because I want to see what happens. So I feel like Mitrovic is their main danger man. I just got to say it. He finds a way to score often, and he is sort of scary. Yeah. He looks at, like, if there was one person you're like, pick one player in the league that you think might bite the heads off of rodents. Like, that's the guy. That's the guy. Yes.
That was a good game to play.
You know?
I have to think about that one.
You know, I don't have any other answers. He's the first one.
Solid,
that came up.
I think it's a solid candidate, though, for
you
sure.
You know, he just looks like he would just, you know, destroy small animals. So, anyway, they've also got Ruben Loftus-Cheek coming off the bench, and Ivan Caballero coming off the bench as well, possibly. I mean, the main thing I look at that lineup, and I feel like it's a young, on the most part, it feels like a very young team. You know, feels pretty young. Every time I've seen them play, it's not particularly, I don't immediately think, okay, that team scares me. I don't. I think, and I don't even know
if they look like a championship side.
It feels a little naive. Feels a little naive, that side. You know? So.
Yeah.
There's some talent there. I'm not going to sit there and say they're not, but I don't think they've come through and said, this is our identity. We're cohesive like this. You know what I mean? So.
For sure.
Now that we've given like an absolute super thin analysis of the Fulham squad, it's not a very long Fulham summation. Just saying. Who do you think starting for Everton? Because with these weird possible injuries, I don't even know.
I'd actually like to go a little off the board here and go with who I would start over who I think will start. I think it's time for a switch up in this squad. I think it's time for Robin Olsen to come in and start. Jordan Pickford looked really shaky again last weekend against United. There was that another ball straight in his hands that he dropped right at the feet of Harry Maguire, which almost led to a penalty. He just looks shaky every time out, which is it's alarming. Then I go with Jonjo Kenny, and then center backs. I'm switching up the center backs. I want Everton to go to more of a ball playing, pacier center back. I want Godfrey and Holgate at center back. I want more ball playing ability out because Everton do play a decent amount from the back, and if you're going to play from the back, you need ball players from the back.
Can I ask you a question?
They pass back a lot. Yeah,
I have a question. Only because this goes directly against what I think Michael Keane to be. I feel like he's a really good passer. I feel like his passes forward going, you know, I don't think he's a ball carrying like Godfrey would be. You give Godfrey the ball, I think he's a decent, like, passer.
He'll go.
I also think he can go forward. Colgate will get forward. Michael Keane, Michael Keane's more of like, I feel like he's more of a distributor. And Yerry Mina, still working out Yerry Mina. I think those two guys are aerial presences. What do you think? What do you think we would need more against a team like Fulham, though? Do you think it is the pace?
I don't have a problem with Michael Keane's distribution. I think it is good. I think he is a good passer of the ball, and he's played some really excellent balls this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been some through balls with some height on it that have just been perfect. But yeah, I mean, I don't. This is a kind of a match where I think you can experiment a little bit, right? Against a side that is maybe not Premier League level. And right now, I think you can comfortably look at Fulham and say, you guys kind of look like a championship side. And I'm not, and it sounds disrespectful to Fulham, but I don't think it is. I think you can respect them fully while also understanding that the talent is just not up to snuff.
Right now, I'm imagining the Fulham fans in the comments going, oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I mean, then that's assuming there's Fulham fans watching this, which is also sort of funny.
But yeah, so I mean, like, I would like to see, I would like to see a little switch up, a little experimentation. I would like to see how Ben Godfrey and Mason Holgate play together. I think that's something that you kind of have to see. And I think this is a good opportunity to do that. Plus, you can get Michael Keane some rest. He's been playing in every match. Plus, he's been playing for England. So, like, you know, getting Michael Keane a little bit of a rest isn't the worst thing in the world. Luka Dean on the left. I think you're going to stick with a 4-3-3 formation. Obviously, Alan's going to be out, so you're going to need Doucouré. I think it's a good idea to keep Alan out of the squad this weekend. Just give him a little bit more time. No reason to rush him back and maybe make his injury even worse. So you're going to see Doucouré in the middle. Obviously, the man has been wonderful. I think if I had to guess, you'll probably see Andre Gomez in the middle somewhere. And you'll see, my guess would be Bernard. It's the other midfielder playing out left, out wide. And then in front of him will be Richarlison, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and James Rodriguez. That's the way I think they should line up. I don't think that's how they will line up. I'm sure we'll see John Kenny in it right back, and I'm sure we'll see Jordan Pickford and Michael Keane and Yuri Mina will probably be our center backs, but that's how I'd like to see it. I think that'd be, I think it'd be a fun way to go about it.
I mean, I agree with you. I would like to see Olsen get a run. I do think Pickford will be in there though. I also feel like, if I'm being totally honest though, Pickford kind of got picked on after England's most recent game against Belgium.
For sure.
And I think that's not fair. He was unfairly called out. I mean, the first goal got deflected like two or three times before it went in, and he still almost got it. I didn't think he played poorly in that one. I think he – but I still maintain that the guy needs some sharpening. I think he needs to be more on edge to kind of build up some competitive, that competitive match, that match concentration. I feel like he needs some sharpening. So I think continuing every once in a while to take him out would be a good thing. And right now I think Olsen didn't do enough to merit not getting consideration. I thought he played well when he played. I thought he played well. I would do that, but I think Pickford will start.
How do you think they'll line up? So I told you how I think we should. How do you think we will?
I mean, I'm going to agree with a lot of what you're saying, dude. Pickford, I think if there's any chance Coleman's playing, he'll play. You know what I mean? Like, I think Coleman will, I think they'll find a way for Coleman to play. I think Michael Keane and Holgate, I think we're going to line up the same way we did last time. To give them, because Yerry Mina just played.
That's right. Yeah.
You know,
he got a red card with Colombia.
Yeah. Colombia looks really bad right now.
They look bad. They look so really bad.
Almost got a goal, but they got beat 6-1.
Who is it? Venezuela that beat them 6-1? Or was it Ecuador? It was Ecuador. That's right.
Yeah. It was not a pretty performance. And so
at least Hama scored.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I like that guy. Luka Dean probably on the left. Now, the midfield's sure where left. This –
Yes.
Doucouré, I think Doucouré will get in. And, but if there's no Alan, because I don't know. Right now, I'm on this – I got to be honest, man. I feel like this is a game we need to make sure – like, I'm a little worried about too much experimentation because I want to get back on the right track. The Matt Foley. The right track. You know? So, it's like that's – it's like I feel like we need that return to normalcy. So I don't want to take too many chances. I want to get some points. I want 3 points, and I'm fine with winning it 1-0. I'm fine with winning it 3-2. I just want to win right now. And so if we feel like we're not going to do serious damage to Alan or Coleman leading up into holiday, you know, the festive period, then if they're okay, let's play him. But if he's not, if Alan's not available, well, Delph's not exactly healthy right now either, which is one of those players you would come in immediately and put in there for him. So what do you do then? You get Decore and then maybe Andre Gomez and Sigurdsson, or you throw Tom Davies in there. And that's what you've got.
Yes.
And that could end up happening, because if you look at what Tom Davies wants to do, what Tom Davies wants to do in a game is not too far from what Alan does.
He wants to be Alan.
Yeah, he does, but he doesn't do as well with as much defensive responsibility. Yeah. So that's why it's kind of like, do you have Andre Gomez like pull farther back and then Sigurdsson, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't even know how they do that, how they line those up. Is it Decore, you know, Sigurdsson, Andre Gomez? But Davis is really the only other option there that you can really go with if you want to go with a traditional three
although
type of thing, right?
You could go with Godfrey.
Or Holgate. That's true. That is true. Both of them have done that before.
Both of them have played, and both of them have played well at central defensive mid. So
I don't think that's what'll happen, but I would be totally fine with that. I'd be fine with that experimentation though. I just don't know how, like, I haven't figured out if Carlo is like a like-for-like kind of guy, because I feel like he's not. I feel like he finds a way to play the best players, even though sometimes it's to the detriment. You know, when we didn't play Gordon instead of Richarlison, when Richarlison was out, Gordon seemed like the like-for-like replacement. It seemed like he was, Carlo was thinking, no, let's just play the players. Play the players that I think are right. So I don't know if he'll go like-for-like. I think he'll just play three center-type presences that will give him energy and ball winning and in passing. So that's – if Alan plays, I think we'll see Alan, Decore, and Sigurdsson, or Gomes, whatever you want to say. I've heard five different pronunciations.
It's weird. I don't know how to do it anymore.
We're lost. So and James, DCL, and Charleston. That's me going out on a limb there. But yeah. So anyway, predictions. What's your score prediction?
I can't ever do clean sheets anymore because we don't know what a clean sheet is anymore.
No.
So I'm going to say 4-2 comfortable Everton win.
Okay.
I do think Fulham's probably going to score, which is super annoying because this is a team that you should be keeping a clean sheet against. But it's whatever. Everton don't keep clean sheets anymore. Fine. Outscore them by 2 goals and everything's fine. 4-2. Richarlison's getting on the score sheet this weekend, by the way. It's happening.
So one of the things you said is one of my predictions. Richarlison scores. I agree. I think it's time. I think welcome back. Let's do this. By the way, side note, amazing story on what is it? Players Tribune, Richarlison story. Find it, read it.
Yes.
So good. I sent it to my whole family to read it. So yes, check it out. But anyway, I'm gonna say we win 2-1. I'm gonna say it's gonna be. I think it's actually gonna be scrappy. I think we're looking for momentum right now, and that's what I'm fine with. I'm fine. I just want momentum. I think even though they may seem a little naive, I do think they have some energy. And catch them at the wrong time. We sit there and get all cocky. I don't want to get cocky. I'm going to go into this thinking it's going to be a hard-fought Premier League situation. And that's what I'm expecting. 2-1, I think we get away with a win and some momentum and some positivity. That's what I'm going for, dude. You know, maybe I'm a little too conservative in my predictions there. But I don't know, man. I just want something good. I want something good, feel good about everything.
I want that winning feeling back.
Yeah. Yeah, that loving feeling.
You know what's annoying? I haven't predicted Everton to lose once this season, and I find that annoying. I find that a bit annoying, and it is a bit like, come on, man, like, get a hold of yourself.
Well, if they'd stop seeming like they're going to win.
Not even to Liverpool. Like, I didn't even predict them to lose to Liverpool, which is just – and they didn't, which is fine, but, like, come on.
Hey. Don't apologize for being positive, man. Don't you do that. Come on.
need to be slightly realistic. They're not going to go undefeated.
Well, they definitely won't now.
That's right. You're right. That's correct. That is correct. No Invincibles. Arsenal can pop bottles once again. There are no Invincibles again.
Oh, they were. I like the idea of thinking that Arsenal were worried. They're like, oh, we've got our champions. Well, I mean,
it's like the same thing that people bring up with the NFL and like.
Yeah, the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, man. Yeah. So I'm with you. So, Jake, we have found ourselves at the end of another show, man.
Wonderful.
Congratulations. You've tolerated me for another round. So really quick, I do need to make sure everybody, if you're not already following Jake Holton, you need to do that. You need to check out his work on Toffee Targets. And anything else we should be promoting for you, man, besides Cincinnati Toffees? If you're in that area, you need to get on that. Anything else?
Nope. I should have be back to a normal writing schedule, so I will have a preview for the Fulham match probably coming out on Friday. That'll be fun. Awesome. I have to wait for Carlo Ancelotti's press conference on Friday morning to see who's going to be injured and who's going to be available. So be sure to check out. There should be a preview on Friday, and then following next week, I'll be back on a 2-a-week schedule with a preview and a recap. So
awesome. Very cool. Everybody check it out. Toffee Targets. You're getting a lot of Jake Holton content there. And he brought up some of it at the very beginning of the show. So it's that type of conversations you could be having with this gentleman right here.
It's true. All right.
Very cool. So,
all right, Jerry, thanks for having me, buddy. That was awesome. Yeah.
Hey, you're good. I'll do my ending spiel here, and then we'll just quit recording. Yeah, we're this close to finishing. Holy crap! Anyway, really quick, don't forget the Everton Direct link down there. If you're gonna buy anything Everton based, click on that link. It's in the description. It's nice. So check that out if you're gonna be getting Everton stuff for Christmas, for the holidays.
They ship to the North Pole.
They do. So, speaking of that, here's my book. This is for my aunt. So this is my aunt's copy. But this is my book, Randolph the Christmas Moose. This came from Toffee Blues. It would not have happened without Toffee Blues. I wanted to make sure you can pick it up on Amazon right now. It's for, I would recommend if you have kids at a third grade reading level, or if you want to read it to kids younger than that, it tends to work with all those kids. So yeah, it's about a moose who likes to run, a moose who likes to train and finds a love of running. So yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, cool. If you hate meese, that's your call. Just saying, no one hates a moose. Come on, especially that's one cool. Wearing, he wears a headband for God's sake.
That's pretty okay? Cool, man. I mean, like, come on.
Thank you.
Get Jake. It together, people.
Thank you. I just need a video of Jake scolding people for not, okay, that's awesome. So anyway, moving onward. Also, I normally don't do this. I normally don't push my book before Toffee Blues. That's weird. But anyway, please check out the Toffee Blues website. There's all kinds of amazing content on there from all of our cool contributors on this channel. Also, if you're not subscribed to this channel, what art thou doing, people?
Do it.
So please subscribe to the Toffee Blues on YouTube. Check out our podcast and like on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So follow us there. That's all I got. I'm done, dude. I'm done. Jake Holton.
Tapped out.
Yes.
Tapped out.
Thank you. I'm going to go have a beer and say hey to my wife before she goes to sleep and I hang out by myself for a little while.
My wife, hey. my voice is going to be all hoarse.
Your voice can't be hoarse. Listen to how pleasant that is. No way. I think it never go hoarse. No way.
You'd be surprised what happens at 7 in the morning when I wake up and I try to say my first words.
Hello.
It sounds like I've just been unraveled out of like a mummy's, you know, whatever that thing's called. What is it called?
Sarcophagus?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
dust.
What it was.
Dust comes out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, in all seriousness, Jake, thanks so much for coming on. It's always really good to talk to you. Such a nice guy.
Appreciate
love your views.
Man.
I love your thoughtful, you know, opinions. And yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, man. So anytime, come back. Everybody else out there, yeah, we need 3 points this weekend. So just go ahead and will it to happen so Everton doesn't have to do anything. All right? Much love, everybody. Have a good one. And bye. Oh, not a good throw. Bye.